Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:55 British Summer Time. Today is October 3rd. Today has been a difficult day for stock markets in particular. Uncertainty continues to emanate from how Europe is going to handle the Greek crisis. Greece is due to run out of money at the end of this month. If everything had gone according to plan, it would have got the next tranche of its bailout today. That did not occur because the IMF, EU, and ECB Troika pulled out of discussions with Greece last month over inaccuracies in their budget forecasts. Greece came out today and said that they were going to miss their debt to GDP targets this year and next. So sentiment has deteriorated considerably. There are still three legislators in Europe, three parliaments in Europe that are waiting to ratify the EFSF deal. Those are Malta, the Netherlands, and Slovakia. And Slovakia in particular is where the focus of concern remains because there is a split in the government as to whether to ratify it or not. Assuming that European leaders believe that it will eventually be ratified, then you could have the ESF up and running by the end of this month. That would lend the Eurozone quite a lot of firepower in helping, in allowing it to deal with this crisis. They could then ensure an orderly default for Greece. However, if they fail to get that up and running, and they fail to provide Greece with the working capital that it needs to get through the next couple of months, then we could be in for a rather dismal prospect. I think that that is probably an overly pessimistic view. One can probably assume that rationality will come to bear at some point. One way or another, the European banking sector is going to be bailed out in the event of a default by Greece. And the European banking sector, despite a rather stiff day to the downside across markets, was not as weak as it could have been in here today. It broke its progression of lower rally highs last week, and it is holding above the 100 level. Now, it needs to continue to hold above the 100 level. If the very short-term tentative sign that demand is beginning to return to dominance is to be maintained, and we will need additional evidence to confirm that that is actually going to be the case. If we review what was happening in markets in here today, then Europe, as well, starting off in Asia was weak right across the boards. The Nikkei was down 1.75%. The Hang Seng was down over 4%. The A-share market in Shanghai was also weak. The ASX was down almost 3%. And then in some of what had been relative holdout markets in the ASEAN region, the Indonesian, Philippines, and Thai markets were all considerably weaker in here today. So they have now broken down just like all the other markets. They have sustained moves below their 200-day moving averages. They are pulling that back from those averages. They've encountered resistance at them as well. So what had been relative holdouts are now succumbing to selling pressure. In Europe, the majority of markets were weaker, but not in as a dynamic fashion as we've seen over the last couple of weeks. The majority of markets were down over 1%. The DAX in Germany was down 2.25%. The IBEX was also down a similar margin in Spain. As we approach the close on Wall Street, the Dow Jones is down 2.2%. The S&P is down 2.7%. The Nasdaq Composite is down just over 3%. Today's action was particularly hard on the commodity-led markets. Canada was down over 3%. Brazil is down over 2%. I mentioned the ASX already. South Africa is a bit of a standout. It was up on the day, which it's been supported by some of the gold shares. Asian currencies were also weaker in here today. The dollar was strong against almost everything. The yen was a little bit stronger than the US dollar. It's at 76.62. It remains largely range bound against the US dollar in here. Both are considered a relative safe haven because of their liquidity. The US dollar has been particularly strong against Asian currencies and commodity currencies. The Asian dollar index had been one of the more consistent trends out there, but it broke its progression of lower of higher reaction lows. It broke down below its 200-day moving average. It has paused of late, but we have, while there is still potential for an unwind of the short-term oversold condition, the action is overall bearish. This looks like more than a short-term rally for the US dollar. It's a broad-based rally for the US dollar against a whole string of currencies. So in here we're seeing that the US dollar is strong, stock markets remain weak. Asia now is catching up on the downside with Europe and the USA. USA is a relative performer in here. The strength of the US dollar is helping support interest in those markets. In absolute terms, the S&P is in a bear market. It has broken down from a type 3 top. It has encountered resistance in the region of the 200-day moving average. It is now testing the lower side of its 8-week range. A clear upward dynamic is now required to signal that demand is returning in this area and to offset scope for additional downside. But even against that background, the USA is still a relative outperformer compared to the rather dismal prospects in terms of a slowing economy that we see in Europe and the unwind that we're seeing currently in Asia. Asia remains the global growth story. Asia remains the locus of a major secular theme in terms of the greatest urbanization in history. But Asia has also been tightening in terms of monetary policy, and a reversal of that policy is likely required to reignite investor interest and to attract foreign investors back into the region. This was a mixed day in the commodity sector. Gold was stronger by $30. It's back up to $1,650, continues to find support above $1,550. Gold has had a very swift pullback towards the 200-day moving average in the last couple of weeks. It found support last week in the region of 1,650. It bounced and pulled back slightly to around 1,600, and now it's firmed once more above that level. Gold has safe haven qualities. It's traditionally the only real money, and it has undoubtedly been remonetized in the eyes of investors. Silver, having been as low as $26 at one point last week, finished out the week around $30, and it's in mildly positive territory in here today. In the palladium and platinum markets, they are at present taking their cue from the industrial metals. The industrial metals were just about all weaker in here today. Copper fell below the $3 level on COMEX briefly in here today. It finished at 308.95. But this remains a bearish environment for industrial metals. In the oil market, West Texas Intermediate was down over $2. I'm just pulling up the Brent crude price, but Brent crude is down $1.50. Brent crude has been above $100 since early February, and that's the longest time it's been above $100 ever. It's posted a progression of lower rally highs since April. The most recent of those was in mid-September. It has bounced from the region of $100 on three occasions since June. Each of those occasions has seen a large downside tail followed by a succession of upward dynamics. That was not the case on this occasion. You had the downside tail, you had a one day on the upside, and you subsequently retraced the entire advance, and the price is right now at $101.24. This is different action to the previous bounces that we've seen from this region. The likelihood of an additional decline below $100 has increased substantially. So, if we take a little bit of a step back, oil, high oil prices have been a leading cause of recessions for at least the last 50 years. The surge in oil prices earlier this year has resulted in lower economic growth expectations. Oil is still far too high. It needs to come lower. It looks like it's going to. That's good news. That's a precondition for a recovery scenario. The European banks have been leading on the downside. The fact that they have at least paused and the downtrend is beginning to lose some of its consistency characteristics is also good news. But this is still a bearish environment. We've had stiff declines over the last week. Every market, particularly Wall Street, has been up one week, down the next. This week isn't starting out as an up week following last week's down week. We're seeing that a number of markets, particularly the USA, is testing the lower side of an 8-week range. Sentiment has deteriorated. You are having an increasing number of high-profile commentators talking about a US recession. That's coming quick on the heels of a major growth slowdown in Europe and deep recessions in quite a number of countries in Europe, albeit not specifically in the European economy. The strength of the US dollar, the strength of US treasuries are also reflecting that bearish sentiment. US treasuries today were stronger by almost 3 full points. So the While US Treasury, the 30-year Treasury prices are close to historic highs, the yield isn't at an historic low. It remains overextended, but it remains relatively consistent. It has this progression of lower rally highs, one below another. It is accelerating. It is increasingly overextended. We know that it is coming towards at least a near-term low in the not-too-distant future, but there is no signal yet that that is over. The more overextended it becomes, the greater the likelihood is that there's going to be a snapback in the other direction. We won't have evidence that that is beginning until it breaks its progression of lower rally highs. The fact that you have commonality right across the sovereign bond market, where you have gilts and Euro bunds, the Australian 10-year, the Canadian 10-year, Swiss 10-year, all showing relative strength in here, is indicative of a pricing in of a slower economic growth environment. There is a big difference between a recession and very, very mild growth in terms of the sentiment that it has, or the change in sentiment that it brings on. Until comparatively recently, people were thinking about looking at this market in terms of buying opportunities. Whereas I suspect that now, given the intense volatility that we've had over the last couple of weeks, people are more on the sideline. They're waiting to see evidence. That's removing demand from the market. And that type of loss of confidence is could support an additional decline, because if you have demand withdrawing from the market, it means that supply is by definition dominant. So that is definitely something to bear in mind in this type of environment. This volatility is having an adverse impact on investor sentiment, and that is being backed up by an increasing number of bearish commentators. That doesn't mean that we have to become more bearish as markets decline. This decline is not over, but this decline is creating value. The relative performance of shares that are leveraged to the growth of the global consumer is impressive. Now, they are not going to remain immune if we see an additional deterioration, particularly on Wall Street. But their relative strength would dictate that they are probably going to be among the first shares to show conclusive signs of bottoming, and will be among the first to break upwards to new all-time highs when a recovery begins to take place. The USA is vying with Europe at present for the focus of investor anxiety. Realistically, the USA is not in the same economic pot as Europe. Europe has significantly deeper problems, not least the bickering that's going on between respective governments, which ensures that absolutely nothing is being done. The USA has a lot going for it. It also has some intransigent problems that it will have to deal with. It does appear at this stage that the USA has got better infrastructure in terms of dealing with its problems than Europe does. That's why it is imperative that the EFSF deal does get passed, that tighter and more or greater fiscal consolidation occurs within the Eurozone, but that is going to be an additionally painful process, and there's no guarantee that that where it's going to get through in a short period of time. So we remain within this bearish environment. This is supporting interest in the gold market, supporting interest in treasuries, and this US dollar looks like it can go additionally higher. China continues to tighten. India continues to tighten. They're worried about inflationary pressures in India. They have the additional worry of high housing prices in China. There's every indication that China's going to continue tightening until it gets what it wants, which is lower property prices. If they get lower property prices, it means that they'll get lower housing starts. That could impact demand for commodities. We're starting to see that copper in particular has had this big decline, and that commodity currencies have been among the weakest. The Australian dollar, for example, was at 110 cents in the last couple of months. It's currently at 95, so that has been quite a decline. It broke down from the 105 to 110 range. It went back, tested parity, encountered resistance at 105, pulled back, went through the parity level. It's currently at 95. So this has been an equal-sized pullback compared to the one that we saw from 110 to almost parity. That would suggest that it is potentially close to a short-term low. There's potential for a relief rally back towards the parity level, but this remains a bearish environment. Australia's manufacturing sector, agricultural sector, will be jumping for joy, and certainly its tourism sector. But the fact that Australia's currency has been a commodity currency is more. Its weakness is more reflective of the fear of a global slowdown and the selling that we're getting in the commodity sector. When I said it was a mixed day in commodities, this was a positive day for the meats. They are benefiting from the weakness in the grain complex. And I think with that, I'll leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.